Somebody took the time to make sure that the body looked like it was still in it, except the stuff was more flatter because there's no body in it. And it's a nice little fold at the top there, right where the head was. You know who did that? Jesus. If he was in a hurry, he would have said, I'm out of here, dude, before they catch me. He wasn't in a hurry. He rose from the dead, and he just sets that thing, takes it off. Okay, thank you. Walks out. Do you know why the stone was rolled away? It wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. Jesus was already gone. Stone was rolled away so you could get in and see. So every one of us could go in and look for ourselves. That's why the stone was rolled away.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. Jesus is crucified as our study of John continues in chapter 19, verse 26. Here's Pastor Bob.
They buried Jesus. Rome made sure he was dead. Jesus said, no one will take my life. I will lay it down. He gave up the ghost. He let his spirit go. Now, me and you, you and I, we don't have that kind of authority. We're trying to hang on for all we got, but we're going home. We're leaving this earth one way or the other, true? Everybody knows it. Nobody likes to talk about it. Yeah. 100 pounds of spices. Wrapped him in linen cloths, wrap, put some spices, spread him, wrap tightly, put one wrapped separately around his head. Buried him in a rich man's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. And everybody went to finish their preparations for the feast. So, we learned that there were some ladies who went with Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. As they prepared the body, the women were there. They could see it was done in a hurry. They wanted to come back and finish the job. Only 100 pounds wasn't enough for their Lord. And they wanted to come back. So that, when the feast is over, on the first day of the week, what you and I call Sunday, the first day, chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was still dark, to the sepulcher, and she saw the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. The stone had been taken away, rolled back. That stone was usually a rock, maybe not quite, about 6 inches. You know, it was carved, about 6 inches, sometimes maybe eight. It'd be thick, solid rock, and they would put it in a little trough, and it would roll into place and lock into place. And they were nearly, some of those rocks, probably this one was nearly a ton, a couple thousand pounds. So it's downhill sort of, so they lock it into place. So to get it back out, you're gonna have to pry it out. You're gonna do a little bit of work, which they would let you do that, but we've got an exception right here. Mary. It's going to the tomb. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was still dark to the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she ran. She runneth and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. We learn at the very end of this gospel. That other disciple was John, the beloved disciple. She ran to Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And she said to them, they have taken away my Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. I talk about them all the time. I catch myself. You know who they are. You talk about them. They say it's going to snow. Everybody knows who they are. You just can't put a name to them, right? They say it's going to be a really warm summer. Ha ha, this is Idaho. Stop it. They say, there's a word in here that lets you know something. Let me do this. Mary and a few other women went to the tomb. Well, why does John just say Mary? John isn't telling you the number of women. He's telling you the one woman that came to him and Peter first, right? And he does, Mary says, Mary right here says there were multiple women. That tells me a lot of things. You see, they did not know that Pilate had ordered the stone to be sealed. And they would take two leather straps, make kind of an X, then lock it down and put the seal in the center of that X. If you break the seal without permission, instant death penalty. They don't know that. They're just going out because when they left, it wasn't all there. And they wanted to make sure Jesus' body was buried correctly. So they don't know. And see, once it's sealed, it's not protected, a protected piece of property by the Roman government itself. Armed Roman guards are there. Some say four, some suggest eight. But there were armed, fully armed Roman guards. Anyone who would break the seal without permission would be instantly dead. In other words, like I like to say, cancel Christmas. Now that's important for you to know, especially when you read through the Gospel of Matthew at the end. John wrote down what he experienced, but did you hear what Mary said? Mary said, listen closely. She told us there was more than her. She told us there were other women. She said, they've moved him in the night, and I'm paraphrasing, and none of us know where. I'll say it in her language. They took the body, and we don't know where it is. Who's we, Mary? Get it? She's telling you there are other women, and John's not going to give us their names because he's telling you, this is exactly what I heard and saw. This is his eyewitness report. No contradiction, and I could do that with almost everything. I haven't seen everyone. So everyone I've seen, I can show you what the Bible says, and there are no contradictions there. You can keep believing it, or you can start reading it yourself. So let me read you the language. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early when it was dark to the sepulcher. She saw the stone taken away. She ran. She came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, John, who Jesus loved. And she said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we don't know where they have laid him. She just told you, I wasn't alone. She didn't give us a list of names. Some of the other gospels do. So there, if you just read it, you won't have to panic like you are. People are trying to scare you out of the Bible. Just take your time. Don't panic. When you see something that looks like a contradiction, hear this. God is bigger than us and smarter. He will never contradict himself, ever. He can't. He's too big. If I see something I think is a contradiction, there's something I'm not understanding. There's something I'm missing. And so you can always count on that. They've moved him in the night. We don't know where. Notice, she doesn't have the body. John and Peter, they don't have the body. She came to tell them they were shocked. But somebody's got it. It had to be them. Who's them? Well, we don't know. She doesn't know. It had to be them. It wasn't us. And verse 3 says, Peter, therefore, went forth and the other disciple, and they came to the sepulcher, to the tomb. They ran. They both ran, verse 4, they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the sepulcher. You know why? That may not be important to you, but it's important to John. John is writing this. He's young. They believe that John was probably around 19 years old, whereas Peter was 40 or over. And so when they ran, John outran the 19-year-old, outran the 40-year-old. Duh, who couldn't? And stooping down, looking down into the tomb. In other words, that stone was rolled out of the way. He could look right into the tomb. Mary and the ladies were right. Someone moved that stone. Looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying right where they belonged. In other words, lying there in the space they needed to be. But he did not go in. John's a little bit young, a little bit not as forward as Peter. Peter was brash. He would open his mouth to exchange feet. I know what that man feels like. Do you? Then came Simon Peter following him, and Simon just kept running right past him and run on in. That's Peter. That's the way he is. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin, the part of linen that was on his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You see, they would wrap up to the neck, and then they would put a piece across the top of the head, and it was separated right there, all folded nice. So somebody took the time to make sure that the body looked like it was still in it, except the stuff was more flatter because there's no body in it, and that it's a nice little fold at the top there, right where the head was. You know who did that? Jesus. If he was in a hurry, he would have said, I'm out of here, dude, before they catch me. He wasn't in a hurry. He rose from the dead, and he just sets that thing, takes it off. Okay, thank you. Walks out. Do you know why the stone was rolled away? It wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. Jesus was already gone. Stone was rolled away so you could get in and see. So every one of us could go in and look for ourselves. That's why the stone was rolled away. Then went in also, verse 8, then John went in. He's the one that got there first, and he saw, and what did he do? He looked, and two made sense to him. He came up with four. He believed. He rose from the dead. That's what John believes. Peter doesn't know what to believe. For as yet, verse 9, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. But John believed, all right, he is not here. He is not here. Peter said, I can see that. No, he's got to be alive. And Peter doesn't know what to think. Then the disciples went away again to the place they were staying. Verse 10. Here they are running, and they're hurrying. It's still kind of dark. It's early, early morning. John, being the younger, outran Peter, got there first, but a little bit timid, a little bit. He's just looking in, trying to see, well, what do I see? But Peter just comes brashly running in. That's what Peter would do, and he does it. He's always aggressive. That's the way God built him. Some of you are shy and polite, and some of you are aggressive, and you're going to step right in, and you'll usually sink first in the quicksand, and everybody knows it's quicksand now. Yay! Someone's got to do it, right? Here comes Peter. And he sees the same thing, the linen cloth still there, looking like there's a body in it, but flatter. And that little napkin about his head, in its place still. But Jesus was not there. So no one disputes. No one. Even the Roman soldiers, if you read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, even the Roman soldiers, the women, the disciples, and the high priests, and the spiritual leaders, the Jewish leaders, all agree that body's not there. Now, you know what? So it's not a contradiction. And yes, it's true. History even says, Josephus writes, yes, Jesus was crucified and was buried. Yes, he was. So yes, Jesus existed. Contrary to that big article today, yes, he existed. By the way, he still exists. He's alive. He rose from the dead. Peter goes in there and he says, yep, this is where Jesus was, but I'm telling you, I'm an eyewitness. Peter says he wasn't there. John says, I went in, because John enters the tomb after that, and John believed. Jesus is alive. He is certainly not here. And John was at the cross. John saw Jesus Christ die and was completely dead. And the Romans made sure of it to prove to the whole world that Jesus Christ died. They didn't understand, just like sometimes you and me. The verse is written about the Lord in the Old Testament, talking about Messiah rising from the dead. Psalm 16, Psalm 110, Isaiah 53, all tell you that the Messiah will rise from the dead. He will die and he will live forever. How can you do both? He's going to rise from the dead. Peter and John headed back to where they were staying. And of course they told the other disciples. Judas had taken his own life. Judas didn't have to do that. He shouldn't have. He could have just surrendered his heart and said, I've done the worst thing in the whole of creation. Please forgive me. And the Lord would say, that's exactly why I shed my blood. You're forgiven. There's nothing too dark, too ugly, too bad, too big that Jesus cannot forgive. He forgives. He will forgive you. He's forgiven me. He's forgiven some of you that belong to him. If you don't belong to him, you can, and he will forgive every bit of sin, every bit. I've had people ask me, well, Pastor Bob, my life is absolutely gross. Should I, before I try to give my heart to Jesus, should I like make myself better, you know, kind of get off these drugs, and should I try to clean up my language? And I say to them, well, it's really dumb to go take a shower before you take a bath. It's a waste of time. No, you can't clean up your act. Most of you don't know where you left your act. You give it to Jesus Christ and he washes it, you clean forever by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. So look at verse 11. But Mary stood outside, just outside the sepulcher, weeping. She's right there at the tomb, just weeping. She knows he's not in there. She has no explanation of where he is, what happened. She doesn't know. She knows he's dead, period. She knows that. So someone had to have taken the body. She said that. They've taken him and we don't know where they put him. She's weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down once again. You know how we are. I know he's not there. I looked in a couple of times, but I'm going to look in again, and maybe there's something wrong with me, and he's probably there. You know how that goes, right? She wept. As she wept, she stooped down, and she looked into the sepulcher, and she saw two angels dressed in white sitting right where the body had been laid. One at the head, where the head was, the other at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. So they're sitting there, right where the body was, at where the head would have been, where the feet, and they were just sitting there. That is so weird. What are you guys doing? Nothing, just kind of hanging out. What's up? You weren't there when I looked in before. They spoke to her, though. And they said to her, woman, why are you crying? In our language, a very respectful word, ma'am. They're so respectful with her. Jesus is respectful with the women. The little bitty girls, he calls them daughter. The ladies, he calls them ma'am. Very respectful, very polite, very courteous. These angels say, ma'am, why are you crying? She said to them, because they, whoever they are, she doesn't know, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. I lost my Jesus. I lost him. He was here when I saw them roll that stone across, and he's gone. And so somebody, dead bodies don't walk. Therefore, somebody took him. I don't know who, and I don't know where, but I'm determined to find out. As she cries, she stoops down to look in again. What for? Well, maybe I saw what I saw. You know, we're that way. And she looks in, and sure enough, this time there were two angels there. Linen's stuff's still there, but there's two angels, one at the head, one at the foot, where Jesus had been. And they ask her a simple question, and so calmly and so politely, the language, ma'am, why are you crying? Because they've taken my Lord. Her story's not changing. They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put his body. That tells me again, John and Peter were not expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. Neither was Mary, or were Mary, and all those ladies. None of them were expecting to rise again, and he told them over and over through his public ministry for 3.5 years that he would rise from the dead. They never got that part. Because it didn't fit into their theology. It didn't fit into their scenarios they had built in their heads. And so they'll say, contradiction. No, it's what God says. That's why I suggest to you, read your Bible. Don't take their word for it. Go and read it for you just to see the words yourselves. Even though Jesus promised that he would rise from the dead, it never crosses the heart of Mary. She is brokenhearted and confused and upset, and doesn't know what even to do. She's standing there weeping, but what are you, you can't stand here all day. What are you doing, Mary? I don't know. Ma'am, why are you crying? Because somebody took my Lord, and I don't know where he is. And his body, he's dead. You can't just be doing that. Which she had thus said, it looks to, the language almost infers here that there was another, or something caused her to turn around. Because when she had said thus, she turned herself back, meaning she must have seen something or heard, whatever. She turned herself back and she saw Jesus standing there and knew not that it was Jesus. Why wouldn't you know that was Jesus? Again, you know, I'm putting myself in her shoes because Jesus is dead. So anybody standing behind me right now is not Jesus, no matter what he looks like. Get it? Because that's impossible. It can't happen. God says it will, but I say, no. I don't even remember you saying that, Lord. Look, she saw Jesus, but didn't know it was him. And Jesus said to her, he speaks to Mary. He says, ma'am, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? In other words, you're here at this tomb. Who are you looking for? Why are you crying and who are you looking for? She assumed. You know what you do when you assume? You make a big mistake. Right? She assumed, she supposed him to be the gardener. Well, it's early morning. It's way too early for anybody to be out and about. It's still probably not quite sunrise or close to it right now. And she goes, there's got to be the guy that works here. What else would he be doing here? Duh. I added the duh. And she said to him, supposing he was the gardener, sir, if you have carried him from here or hence away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Wonder how big Mary was. You know what? Love does that, doesn't it? That's what love does. Love is not this warm fuzzy. She's brokenhearted, but that's her Lord. She wants to make sure Jesus is okay. This is the Son of God. She believes, but she just doesn't grasp the power and the authority that she's dealing with here. So verse 16 says what? Jesus said unto her, just one word, Mary. One word. Now, why would that cause her to recognize him? She turned around, that language is fully, and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say master. And the other gospels tell us what Jesus is saying here. She immediately fell down at his feet and she grabbed his feet. And what I like to call, she wraps her arms around and she's got what I like to call a death grip. I lost you, if you know, and you ain't going nowhere now. She just falls at his feet and grabs on. So Jesus says to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers, go to the apostles and tell them, say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And look what he tells her to do. You go tell my brothers. Now, everybody, they were his disciples. They were his disciples. Now that he's risen from the dead, he paid the price for sin. So we are his brothers and sisters. We are his body. He said, you go tell my brothers. I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is our Father. And we can pray, our Father in heaven, help me, right? We can now, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, he is our Father. My God and your God, my Father and your Father. All of us that are truly born again, call him Father. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Mary did, listen closely, exactly what Jesus told her to do. See how easy it is to obey God. Go tell my brothers. And Mary did exactly what he told her to do. She couldn't explain how he rose from the dead. She couldn't, are you sure you saw him alive? Yes, I saw him alive. And I touched him and I grabbed him and it was him. I knew my master. As soon as he called me by my name, I knew my master. And he told me to come and tell you that he's alive. And I saw him alive. I've seen him. I've walked with him. I talked with him. Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.